there, it's Tracy Tully, and you're listening to Tracy Tully Talks at bbsradio.com, the place to be right now, streaming live with another 60 minutes of thought-provoking topics, sharing with you conversations that are relevant today, tomorrow, and in the future. Join me each week on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, 5 p.m. Wednesday PT, hello Los Angeles. If you missed the live show, jump onto your favorite podcasting platform and you'll find me on Tracy Tully Talks. We do have some adult language, so if you have some little ones around, pop on your earphones. Hello and welcome to another session with Tracy Tully Talks, and it's lovely to see you, and December is on us already, so not long to go. Our radio station will be going right up into Christmas and straight out of Christmas. It will not stop, so I look forward to bringing you 60 minutes live every single Thursday over the festive season as well. Lovely to have you all here, and I would like to introduce you to a very special guest and friend of mine, Nick Cree. Hello, Nick.
Hey there, Tracy. Hey, thanks for having me on today.
It's my pleasure. And for our listeners, Nick lives in Queensland in Australia, and Nick did have a business called Positive Business Online, and he has very successfully sold that, and he has a new business called smashgo.co, which I love that name. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself and for our listeners.
All right. Well, yes, I do live in Queensland. I haven't always been here. I was born in what is arguably called Australia's worst prison. So that was my start in life. That was about 200 years before I was born. It's a tourist destination now. So that's Norfolk Island. So a little dot in the middle of the Pacific Ocean between Australia and New Zealand. So that's where I got my start. And look, I spent a lot of my early years in New Zealand, and my first business was in New Zealand as well. I had a mortgage and finance broking company. Didn't know anything about it when I started. I just had a redundancy check of $20,000, and I had to find something to spend it on. So I set up a business, a startup as you do, and that money had all gone in about 3 months, and then I actually had to start work. But I grew that business from a little startup. I've never been in the banking sector. I've never been in finance. It was just something that crossed my desk. So I had to learn a whole lot of stuff real quick. But that was where I got my start in online marketing, because I built my first website for that business. And my vision for it all was that I wanted to do everything online. I knew nothing about the online world. This is back in 2001. But I built that to a national organisation or a national business, which I sold in 2008, which was in the middle of the global financial crisis. So I sold that. We picked up a family. We moved to Australia, set up a web development business. I decided I didn't want any more overheads. I want a business that I could run from my laptop, in a cafe, drink my favourite coffee, and actually just enjoy life on the Gold Coast in the sunshine. Sort of didn't quite work out like that, but it was a good start to it all. And I built my agency, which is Positive Business Online. I knew nothing about web development when I really got into it. There's a common theme coming through here when I start up businesses. But I very quickly learned, built a successful agency, which we sold 3 months ago in the middle of yet another financial crisis. So I did that, and now we've got the startup business SmashGo, which is what we're running out now. Very exciting, lots of action happening, got a good team behind us, and we've just hit the road running. So looking forward to a really good 2021.
Wow, that's exciting. It's interesting that you were born in Norfolk Island. I was born in Penang in Malaysia, but my parents actually worked on Norfolk Island for a period of time. So I used to go over there. So can you speak Pitcairn?
A wee bit. What are you? Which means, how are you?
Oh, it's great. And it's a beautiful island. And, of course, it's steeped in history because it's a very old prison. And from the mutineers from the Bounty. So they came to the island, didn't they? And
here's something that people might not know, is that the Premier of Queensland, several years back, her name was Anna Bligh. And she is a direct descendant of Captain Bligh of the mutineers of the Bounty, which sort of ended up in Pitcairn and Norfolk.
Oh, that explains it all then.
Yeah, that's right. No comment about the politics over here.
let's not, not
I think there was a
today.
mutiny over here too, wasn't there? And she got ousted.
Big mutiny over here. But
Yeah.
never mind politics, not today. We've got lots better to talk about. And I love to hear the fact that you started your startup businesses by taking the risk of going with something that's interested you and then learning as you go. And this is an interesting point that you brought up, because what you've done is you've demonstrated your personality of being a winger. And we talked about being a winger yesterday, and for our listeners today, both Nick and I spoke on an international summit, speaking summit yesterday, that went global, and that was with Gertrude Matschi, and she has been on this radio station before too, and she was fabulous. So and we identified as wingers, where everyone was practicing their speeches and preparing them ready for audition for TEDx, and both Nick and I just jumped on and went, wow. We loved it.
Well, the best stuff happens without preparation sometimes, just a thought in the head and away you go.
And it's that determination, and that's that discipline, and that's what sets your business apart from everyone else's. Because for listeners, Nick is my webmaster, so he has done a wonderful job with my website, tracytully.com, and gives me lots of advice and help both in business and with the website. And I love working with Nick. And I was looking for somebody who would do exactly that. So I'd had bought very expensive websites before, but being sort of left in the trash can, and obviously you know, sucked money out of me, and really didn't get what I wanted. So when I went to Nick with this issue, he said, right, this is what I do, this is how I do it, and this is what you will get and I will deliver, and he has. So if anyone's looking for a great WordPress website, Nick is your man, and you can find him at smashgo.com. But let's find out more about this new business of yours. So what's prompted you with this new business to
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, really what it was is, like, I've got a passion for learning. I love learning. So when I do get into my businesses, I'm all in. So boots and all, there are, you know, burn the bridges and, you know, there's no going back. And in fact, that was the reason why I sold the previous business, was that I was so busy in it, you know, working it. Even though I had a team of seven people, you know, most of my team were all in another country, so I had an outsourced remote team who were absolutely phenomenal. Well, they still are. I've still got some of them. And but I thought, I've got to get rid of all this workload so I can concentrate on what I want to do, which is to build some digital assets that are going to be with me and provide a recurring stream of income from this day forward. So the problem with web development is that, you know, there is some recurring stream of income, which is, you know, website maintenance and that sort of thing, which is a really good business model. But it's only there for as long as people have got a website for. So now it was really time to build some assets that were able really to provide for my retirement. I'm 55, you know, I still feel 25, but, you know, my wife says I'm fooling myself, so I better sort of knuckle down and actually sort of get some things that are going to generate, you know, income going forward. So that was really part, the reason from a business perspective and personal perspective to get into it. From a professional perspective is that having spent 10 years building websites for people, what I found was that, you know, we deliver the website and the most common questions we get are, how come I'm not on page one of Google? You know, the website's launched, where am I? Or the other one is that, you know, what do I do now? How come I'm not getting any traffic? Why am I not getting any conversions? And what I realized was that, you know, the website's seen as the be-all and end-all, and once you've got it, you know, you exist and everything all happens. You know, it's like that film, Field of Dreams. You know, build it and they will come. If you haven't seen Field of Dreams, great film, go and see it, but this is really the essential part of my philosophy. So really what I did is I realized that actually the website's not the most important thing. the most important thing is people's knowledge and knowing how to use the website and how to really understand and master their online strategy. So the new business is really helping entrepreneurs and business owners to really unravel this mystery of the online world. And even if they can only understand one small piece of it, that opens up a whole window to a whole new world. So now it's really just helping businesses to understand that the web stuff's easy. The mindset stuff and understanding it all, that's where the difficulty is.
Yeah, and I can identify that. I really can identify with that as a business person. And we're talking about in the Field of Dreams. Was that Kevin Costner?
That was Kevin Costner, yeah. So building a baseball park in the middle of a cornfield, yeah.
That's right, and with a big grandstand.
That's right. Yep. So he built it all, and he built it for the ghosts of the past, the big baseball players of the past that were going to come. So that was the thing. If he built it, they'd all come and come and play. But it was a good metaphor for the way people run business these days.
It is, isn't it? And it's interesting that you said that because, you know, you've taken that risk and it will work. I know it will work and it is working because I know I'm your client right now. And
well,
Tracy,
it has to work because I've got nothing else now. I sold everything else. I've got nothing else. This has to work.
You'll be washing pots and pans. Oh, your wife will be handing the apron to you.
No, that's already happened.
Yeah, it's interesting, the myths, isn't it? People talk about SEO, and I know I asked you that question too, but I knew I was on Google. You could find me on Google quite simply. That's because of my great name and face, I'm sure. But
it's absolutely that.
But it's probably my background, which is even more interesting, I know. But it's getting rid of those myths, and as you said, it's educating people to be smarter using their tools and to leverage their business to where they want to be. And when you spoke to me about your first product that you just launched, I just went, wow, 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 and wow. It's nowhere. What you've just launched is nowhere else, and I want a piece of that cake. And when I went in to buy it, I'd missed the boat because you'd already closed it. So I had to rely on our friendship and say, dear Nick, please let me have that boat. Thank you. And listeners, he was onto it straight away. And that was a late email. So thank you. Thank you so much. So the Field of Dreams and generating that income. So would you like to tell our listeners about your first product you've just launched in your new business?
Sure, no, I'd be happy to. And so the first product is called the VA Success Blueprint. And the reason why I created it is that I've spent 10 years building and growing a virtual team, a remote team. And look, I've worked with people in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Ukraine, UK, US, but by far my best experience with people in the Philippines. And that's partly to do with who they are and the level of skill and experience that's available over there. But to a greater extent, or a greater part, it's because of me and how I've changed through the process to understand that, just because you're employing people overseas and remotely, they're not working in your office, you can't have those water cooler conversations, you can't duck down to a cafe and have a coffee and really get to know each other. There is a whole different dynamic to being able to work in remote teams. Now, in the digital world or the IT world, it's quite a common thing to have remote teams, web development teams are all over the globe with different specialties. But for most ordinary businesses, they have no experience about how to do this. So it was really, the program is called the VA Success Blueprint, but it's more about how do you prepare your business to be able to employ remote staff so that you've got a good functioning outfit that's working well and that you're able to tap into the skills of these remote workers in a way that is collaborative but it's not just dumping tasks on remote workers and say, just go and do it, and them having to figure out, well, how do I do it? What are the skills I need? And they spend their time Googling stuff, not wanting to interrupt you by, saying, I'm not quite sure how to do this. And then they end up sort of finding a way to do it. It comes back to you. It's not right. You're disappointed as the business owner. And so the whole relationship starts off on the wrong foot to start with. So it was really about fixing that, and it's about looking at the business first, and then once you've got that sort of organized and ready, and it doesn't take a lot of time to do it. We've got some good processes to do it, then you can go and think about who are the people that you need to staff this. And it's not just getting a virtual assistant, but it's about getting the right virtual assistant with the right set of skills, the right experience, knowing sort of how to do simple things like check their background, can they actually do what they say they're going to do? Have they got the right attitude? All of that sort of thing. So the program's really designed for businesses to be able to build, or certainly get their first virtual assistant, and then go on to build a remote team. And who it's for are really often they're solopreneurs, like the entrepreneurs that need some help. They can't afford to pay someone local, the sort of rates that are going there, even though they need someone, but they can get as good a person, if not better, overseas for about, sort of 10%, 15% of, what it would cost locally to hire someone, which, by the way, is a better salary for the people that are working in the, say, in the Philippines, and they would be able to get locally as well too. So it's a win-win both ways.
It certainly is a win-win both ways, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to say hello to my two beautiful VAs who are listening right now, to Jen and to Rhiannon, and welcome to our show, girls, because I know that this will be the first time that you've been listening, and it's wonderful. So they're hearing, and I invited them to come along and listen to meet you virtually, so when they work with you, they know who you are, hear your voice and what you look like, and it helps that aspect, as you said, of building that remote team congruence, so it's getting everyone to work together, so that boardroom type feel that you're sitting around a table, and that's a hard one to generate when you haven't been in that space before. It's interesting because I've managed really big staff, big numbers of staff, and you're walking around all the time across huge sites, spread out across a lot of land and buildings, and you can easily skip into someone's office and say, well done, that's great, or can you do this, or blah, blah. But when you're working remotely, you've got a totally different aspect, and the biggest thing is you've got that cultural change, haven't you, that difference there.
Well, it's definitely cultural, and also communication. Like communication is far more important when you're working remotely. In fact, you've got to over-communicate, one, to make sure that, what you say and what you intended is actually the message that's received from the other end. And I'm sure that, all of us have had experiences where we've sent something quickly off on SMS or text or email, and it's been totally misinterpreted by someone from the other end, and they've come back and, think, well, hey, where did all this come from? So that's the environment we're working in. Sort of language, like Philippines, all of my team are in the Philippines, and English is a widely spoken language in the Philippines. It is the second language, but they're educated also in English. But Australian, and it's probably the same with US and other countries as well, is a totally different language. And I'll give you an example of that. We were meeting with my team. We always have a meeting at 2 o'clock every Monday on Zoom, where we catch up, have a laugh, check in and see how is the week going, where do we need help, and what are our priorities for the next week. And that's a really good thing, to be able to see each other, look each other in the eyes, see each other smile, and you're really sort of, that's the closest you get to that water cooler conversation. And but they were saying that there's a word that I use, and they just couldn't figure out what it was. And I'd said something, I think, in Slack, which is one of the apps that I use to chat with them, said something like, oh, let's go and we'll do this in the afternoon. We'll do this in the arvo. So in Australia, arvo means afternoon. In Australia, we shorten everything, and put an O at the end of it or a Y at the end of it. A servo is a service station, where you get gas. Bottlo, that's a bottle shop. So we shorten everything. Fiery, that's a fire. Someone who's a fire person. So arvo was the afternoon. So they googling it and thinking, what does this arvo mean? And so they're out on Google looking for it. They couldn't find it. They're in looking for Australian dictionaries to see, is there a slang term for arvo? They couldn't find anything there. And I think they spent about a week, trying to find out what this term was and doing it in the arvo. And eventually they found it, and it was avo, short for avocado. So they think, what? What does he mean? So do it in the avocado? So here's the shortened version of a word, which is the same shortened version used for two entirely different things, and they're still none the wiser as to what I'm talking about. And they did eventually sort of find it, and we had a laugh and cracked up about how these language difficulties sort of how they come across. But they're quite confident, and we've got a good rapport. But for staff members that maybe don't have that level of rapport, or maybe not quite confident to speak to their boss or ask their boss that way, then it can be a real point of conflict, because the message that you give and the words that you say and how it's received and interpreted are two different things. So that communication is absolutely 100% the most important thing when working with a remote team.
It's interesting that you said that, because that's a very good point for our listeners to hear what you're saying. And I got picked up on this yesterday. So both Nick and I were talking on an international summit yesterday, and a lovely American lady asked me in the Q&A time, she said, "I wasn't quite sure some of the words you were saying. I've never heard them before and I didn't understand." And to my failure, I didn't even know what I'd said. And that's taking everything for granted. So next time I speak on an international summit, I'll be very, very careful. And I do it all the time, because we're international right now, Nick. But I had a quick little story I thought I might share with you too. For many years, I used to run very, very upmarket, if you might say, so prestigious international education programs. And I'd get big groups of kids from Korea, from China, from Japan, from all sorts of countries, Singapore, you name it, would come to me. And I used to be a high school principal. They would come to my school and they would come for a week and they would polish their English and they would get to see a whole range of different things that Australia could offer, which wasn't the norm. So it wasn't the Gold Coast, fast life at all. It was, I would take them to a dairy farm. I would take them to the army base, the aviation army base. I would take them to different things to have a look at that they could learn something from and take back to their own countries. Anyway, I would always pick them up from the airport, because I have a truck and bus license. I would always do that and take them back to their homes. And I'd do everything hands-on because I love doing that. And I have it, and I obviously drop slang all the time. So I picked up these lovely kids from one country one day, and they looked at me and they wanted me to carry their bags for them to the bus. And I said, no, you do that yourself. Come on. Anyway, the bus trailer I had hired, when the Avis company gave me the trailer, they said, "Oh, you've just got to give it a kick when you close it. Just give it a kick so the bags don't fall out." So I said, "Yeah, righto." So anyway, I got them to load their bags in the trailer and I padlocked it and I gave it a kick to make sure it was closed. And these kids go, "Oh, what'd you do that for?" And I said, "Oh, it's okay, just so they don't fall out." So anyway, they're on the bus and we're driving along, and they had, two and a half hour drive. And one of them said, why did you kick the back of the trailer?" And I said, "Because it might jar open, and if you look out the window, you'd see all your luggage strewn along the highway and your clothes everywhere." So with that, they all looked out and to see if that had happened. I said, "Don't worry, it won't happen." Anyway, I was picking them up, every day for every single trip. And as we got onto the bus, I'd count them in and I'd say, "Righto, everyone here?" And they go, "Yes." And I'd hit the button, shut the doors and drive off. On the very last day, I was taking them back to the airport and there was silence in the bus, and one of the kids said, "We're not quite sure, Mrs. Tully, a word that you use all the time." I said, "Oh, yes, what's that thing?" "Oh, gee, I hope I haven't sworn." And these kids say, "Raro, raro." And I said, "Right, oh, don't know about that one." Anyway, it took me 2 hours to drive into Brisbane to work out what this word was. And I said, "Say it again. What am I doing when you hear me say this word?" Getting on the bus. Anyway, as they got off the bus, I said, "Raro." And they said, "Yes, that's it." "Righto, okay, righto, we're off the bus." And we all had a big laugh about it. So it's really, really important to hear that. That can be quite difficult for people. But, it was a funny story and we all had a big, big laugh about it. But you can guarantee they learnt a lot of English with me that week.
may not be English. That's more Australian. And they'll go home and to their English teachers and like, what are all these words that you've learnt? This is not English.
Well, the parents obviously weren't worried because they were all high school kids. They were all upper high school kids. And the parents wrote back and said, we love what you did. Because I used to make them run with me every morning and do all sorts of things that they probably, you know, would have had a pink fit with. And I said, you're here, you'll do what I do, and that's it. If I can do it, you can do it. And the parents said, can we send all our primary school kids to you as well? So it was a lovely way, and we had some great relationships together. And back to what we're talking about. So your VA Success Blueprint is a program. Now, I know you've closed it, the sale of the current program now, but I have a feeling you're going to reopen that again. So if listeners are wanting to purchase, where do they go?
So we deliberately close it because we've got a teaching schedule over the next six. Well, it's actually 8 weeks because we've got Christmas. So we've got a specific program that we run through from start to finish, and we can't really have people coming in the middle of the whole thing. So once we're finished, then we'll be through the process to launch it all again. We've got a waiting list now. And we've already got some of the people that missed out that have gone onto the waiting list. I think you were the last one that got in. You were the last one.
My girls will be really pleased to hear that too, right? Jen and Riel. Yes, great. Thank you.
Yeah. So, but look, if anyone's interested in coming along, I mean, if you're in business, and particularly if you're a solo business, like you're a solopreneur or someone that, you know, with maybe a handful of staff, absolutely perfect, particularly if you wanted to grow and expand, and particularly with some of the online stuff as well. So you just need to go to our website, which is smashgo.co, and at the top there is a tab that says Programs. If you click on the Programs tab, that'll take you straight through to the wait list, and you can add your name onto the waiting list.
And believe me, listeners, I've seen the back end of this, and it is juicy. It is full of goodness, and I cannot wait to start. And I know Rhiannon and Jen, who are listening right now, they will really enjoy working with me with this too. So even if you are someone who's just retired and you're looking at starting your own business and you're thinking about a remote employing remote workers, then this program will be for you too, because Nick takes you right from the beginning right through, and it's a really well-structured program, and I just fell in love with it. So that was really good. So tell me, Nick, what comes next after that program?
What comes next? Well, it is running the program again. This is actually the pilot. So the first one is the pilot. We're still creating some of the content, getting everything that's in my head out into onto paper and onto video. And there's still lots of questions coming. There's been some really insightful questions coming in from people that are helping to create the content. And it's not that I don't know it. It's just that I've been doing it for so long. You know how you sort of do stuff and, you know, it's just second nature, and you don't even think about the fact that somewhere you learnt this. So it's bringing that out. Then for next year, what we're looking at is some of the big questions people have are around their website, and how do they get their website working and functioning properly like it should do. And there's only one job that a website should do most of the time, one job. And once people get that, it's almost game over, and it's like everything that they do is just tailored to this one job. So next year we'll be running out a program for people about how to get their website doing that one job and how to get it doing it well. I suppose you want to know what that one job is, don't you? So
I do.
I'll tell you in the next episode, and then you can invite me back again.
Okay, you'll have to come on the 24th, Christmas Eve.
No, that one job that the website has got to do is only one thing, and that's to get an email address of as many visitors as possible to your website. Now, I know people sort of say, well, why? You know, who reads their emails these days? And look, if you're like me, 80% of my emails go straight into the bin when I get there in the morning, and there's only about sort of 10 or 15% that are worth it. But the thing with an email address is that if you're paying for ads to get people to your website, And they don't buy anything, or they don't subscribe to whatever it is that you want, and they disappear, you've generally lost them forever, because they can't, they won't remember what your website address is, and they won't be able to find it again. If you're not running those ads again, they'll never find you. So the objective is to get their email address, because once you've got their email address and you capture that into a CRM, which is a customer relationship management tool, so it's a database you store them all in. So every website needs to have a CRM as well. So those two go together. But with an email address, yes, you never have to advertise to them again. Never have to pay for ads again. Because you can just email them. So you've got that capability. But the other good things you can do with an email address are if you're using, say, Facebook for your marketing, then you can upload all of the email addresses that you've collected and up to Facebook. And you can then say to Facebook, okay, well, this is a custom audience. These people have all visited my website, so they've displayed some level of interest. And then you can start to target them with particular posts that relate to their interest or Facebook ads. So you can, and you can remarket to them as well too. And what happens with that is people start to get to know you because they start seeing you all the time. And that develops a level of affinity, through to a level of trust. And it's like, yeah, look, this is worth exploring a bit further. So when you are offering your programs out, like the VA Success Blueprint, this is what we did. When you are offering them out, then they've already got some sense of who you are. They feel like they know you and there's some sort of connection. So that's one thing you can do with the email address. The next thing, which is even more powerful, is you can then go and ask Facebook, and we generally use Facebook as our marketing platform because pretty much everyone's there. You can ask them to go and find a whole subset of people on their platform there that are just like these email addresses, these people that you've uploaded to Facebook to create a custom audience. So what Facebook will do, it's got all this data on you, like more data than you probably really want to know that they've got on you. But they'll go out and they'll find people with pretty much exactly the same or very similar profiles to the people that were already there. Now, because they've got similar profiles and similar interests, it's probably a higher likelihood they're going to be interested in what you offer. And so they're going to say yes, and they're going to go through that same sequence again. So it's a really powerful way of being able to find customers there that without having to just go the shotgun effect and put out ads there, like we used to do in the newspapers and yellow pages, and hope that you get sort of some of them, and you can really sort of target it down. Cost effective, cuts down the time of acquisition there, and you really get your website and system working like a real lead machine. Once you perfect that, your marketing just becomes so much easier. It takes a lot of work to get there, but it makes it so much easier. So that's the next program off the bat, is to really look at how do we do that to collect the email address, and then what can we do with those there to really ramp up that lead and inquiry generation to sell our programs or products, whatever it is.
I love to hear your model. So moving from the shotgun to the sniper. Boom, one off, boom. And as you said, there's a lot of background work that goes on, and that's why you're the guru, why you're the expert. And if this is a problem, I know, for someone who's not tech like myself, I don't know what I don't know. And so I know I've wasted a shitload of money on people who have promised me who haven't delivered, and that's a real concern. So that's why I'm sharing Nick's expertise today to all our very valued BBS radio listeners, so that you have someone right here in front of you today who walks the talk. And I can absolutely recommend it, because my website's been built with Nick, and I know that, and I would encourage anyone to do that, but when I got absolutely stuck and everything just went absolutely down the drain, I messaged Nick and he was playing golf and I felt really embarrassed and horrible. I said, Nick, help me, please. I need help right now, because my campaign was done, it had gone, and then it just collapsed. And Nick was able to do that, because he was able to tap into his team, and it took him a couple of minutes and boom, he was off playing golf again. And that is what business is about. So you're selling fun without even knowing it, aren't you? You're selling the dream.
Well, in fact, it's funny you should say that, because one of my goals and objectives in business when I really started down that, I was a fair way down, but when I really got serious about developing a remote team, my goal was to take Friday off and play golf. Now, it was to take Friday off, but I needed to have something to do on that Friday so that I had a reason to take it off as well too. Otherwise, I'd be back in the office working. So my mate and I decided, well, let's go and play some golf. We are not good golfers. In fact, we don't even keep score. We just hit the ball and have a lot of fun and really enjoy the game. So, but that for me was the measure that, I've got the business working the way that I want it. It's, I'm not beholden to the business. The business is serving me, and that I've got a good team of people there that, on the golf course, I can message them and they'll just take care of it, of everything. And they do.
I love it. And this is what we all should be obviously working towards, because who wants a job where you work 24/7? And I don't anymore. And I had a job like that. I was in a job as a high school principal where I was on call 24/7 and I had no time. And I certainly wasn't paid for it either, and used and abused and violated, I would say. But this is something that we do have to think about, isn't it, when we're planning our business, that we do need to give ourselves our family time, our creation time, our passion time to do whatever. And it doesn't matter if you're not, the expert on the golf field that you are in your business, but you are enjoying it, and that's downtime for you. And as you know, my sister's a racehorse trainer and breeder, and I love hanging out with her in the stables. So, I'm a registered strapper, so I'm allowed in there with her to play with those beautiful big sleek animals on race days. And so Wednesday's race day mostly in the city, and that's where I want to be on those days. And I want to get back there and be with her and hang out with her and watch the beautiful beasts win and get that adrenaline and excitement, because it actually helps me with my work. So that's a big part of what we do. So you're actually selling that as well. Selling freedom.
Freedom, yeah, it is. And look, I would have to say that the most important thing that you can do in business is get your time. So many people that I see in business, they go in with a lot of gusto and passion and energy when they started up, and they're out there to deliver the best possible product, service, program that they can, and they put themselves and invest themselves and their souls into it as well too. Problem with it is that it just takes up all of their time. And when you get into business, you realize, well, it's not just about, the product or the program you're delivering. You've got to do all the admin, the books, the emails. The emails start coming flooding in as well, particularly when you become good at what you do. People want a piece of you. The phone rings. For me, it's the phone. The phone just rings sort of incessantly. But it needs to be answered, because these are the people that are the lifeblood of the business, because they're your clients and customers. But what it does is it takes all of your time. So whatever you can do, anything you can do to save time is more important than the amount of money that you make. Because when you've got time, you can always then go and invest that time to make more money. It's easy to make more money. You can never get your time back. So I think, in terms of an objective, if you think about in your week, where can you save time? And that's really the value of having a remote team, because then you can get some skilled people that you can trust that can take some of those tasks, functions, and roles from you to free up your time, so that you can then go and do things like go and have an afternoon off playing golf. Or you can go in and do your creation process. If you're creating new products, you can work on the business. And it's when you work on the business, that's when you make more money. It's not working in the business delivering. It's actually working on the business where you're sort of starting to create some experiences that people come into that they really want to pay for and enjoy, and it's going to solve a need and a problem. And you can't do that if you're working in the business 24/7 and into the nights and spending your weekends, apart from the fact that you don't get time with your family and to do the things that you really want to enjoy. Business has got to serve you. You shouldn't be working for your business.
And that's a really good piece of advice, and something, this is why I've enjoyed working with you since I've met you, because people, depending on where they've come from, what sort of role or job or organisation they've come from to working for themselves, we're really not prepared, most of us. So for me, I came from a government organisation, you know, 38 years in education, and it does not prepare you for anything, because you've got people who do everything for you in terms of that sort of thing. You just have to keep everything glued together and carry around the fire hose and put the fires out and basically pry the kids off when they're fighting or whatever. There's lots of things there that you're doing, and you're across so many tasks that it's impossible. So that when you come to a business like a solo business or an online business, you bring that with you and you think you have to work the same way, and you got out of that business for that reason. And so you fall back into it. So you've got that overwhelm and that anxiety and all of a sudden, I don't know what I'm doing and this is happening. And this is where listeners, Nick is really good, because he gets it and he doesn't waste your money, and he's got that sniper mindset of getting you to where you need to be straight away and moving on. He doesn't sit there and not tell you the how. And so I suppose for my listeners, just sharing some of the problems I've experienced in the past is I've paid a shitload of money to hire people to do A, B and C for me or teach me, and they have not taught me the how. And they do it on purpose. So they haven't taught me the how. And then when I get to the end of the program and I haven't learnt the how and I've paid a lot of money, I get pretty ticked off and I'm in a worse place because I'm even more confused. And when I came to Nick, I said, this is my problem. And he was able to guarantee me without a doubt that he would give me the how, and he has delivered every single time the how. So if you're looking for someone, this is the sort of person you want, a Nick Cree. And Nick, you work with people all over the world, so it's all not an issue.
Yep.
All over the world.
I've got clients in US, UK, New Zealand, Australia, Dubai. So we're truly global. That's the great thing about the online world, is that, you know, you're not constrained. I'm just looking for interplanetary now.
Oh, good. Okay.
Make a comment just about what you've said, and that is my experience in the web industry is that and it's an old model that still persists today, is that keeping clients in the dark is the model to make money. So, look, I experienced that in my early years, which is why I went into web development in the first place. And it was really, I was running a publishing company. The very first business I bought when I came to Australia was a publishing company, a business publications company. And I wanted to get a website that I could easily go in and do things like change the price of some of our programs. So if I was running a special over the weekend, get in there, change your price, add some content, change the description, and I was not reliant on someone else that it was going to take a month for them to do it, and the opportunity has passed. No one could deliver me that, or no one was willing to deliver that. And I remember paying $20,000 to get a platform that I still had to go back and get help. Like, I don't mind going back to get help, I just want to know that I can do it. And so it was really that I started to search for a platform that could deliver me that I could build and I could submanage and work with. And that was where I discovered WordPress, which is back in 2008. And it was fairly rudimentary back then compared to what is available today on that platform. But still, I meet so many people in the industry who build websites or who do marketing campaigns, social media, and they will not reveal how to do it. They keep everything close to the chest. And the problem with that, and the reason why they do it, is they think, well, we'll keep the client and they have to keep paying us all the time to do this because they won't be able to do it themselves. But what it ends up with is a whole lot of really pissed off clients because they can't really do things. And so for me, I would much rather be working with people and giving away everything. Now, give away the shop, because the opportunity that gives me is that if clients out there have got, they know how to get into the website and upload a video, create a blog post, put some images in, and really to work fundamentally with it, or have one of their team be able to do it, then the conversations we have are at a whole different level. So they're not about the technical nuts and bolts things. Their conversation's about how can we get more sort of traffic to the website? What are some strategies for that? So we can really work on those sort of areas. or if they've if they're thinking about you know, what they do as a product and service, we can start to have some conversations about how they can package up some of their expertise in what they do and create new products and services. And for me, that's a lot more fulfilling than having to go into a website every day and just cut and paste some text in there to create a blog post. And it's more empowering for all people.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I'm happy to guarantee and recommend you to our listeners today, because I was that person that came to you and really suffering badly because I had been scammed not once, twice, three times, which I know a lot of people have. And you heard me. And that's I said, I want a website that I can learn and I can do things on it so that I keep my business going. And it's obviously of advantage to you that if I can do that, then I'm going to go to you for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And I'm growing, my business is growing, my remote family is growing. And hey, presto, that is smart business. And this keeping you in the dark mushroom business is shocking. And I don't think it's ethical at all, but it's, as you said, what used to happen and still happens very much so. So I love the fact that with you, in the short time I've been with you, I've got a membership portal, I've got three lots of courses up on my machine, and I'm ready to redo them again now and make them even better than they were. And there's a whole lot of other things. I even want a bar in my membership portal so that you can go and hang out at the bar. So
there we go, that's a challenge to figure that out.
I've sown the seed. So yeah, it will happen. So what do we do about that? So you can imagine that's a little teaser. So I like to be really creative, and I want my members to be able to go to the bar inside my portal. And what will that mean? So yeah, it will mean lots of goodies. It means that I will give value. And certainly that's what Nick heard me say. I wanted to give value to my clients and anyone who was thinking about being my client. Absolutely. And I don't like the idea of holding everything back and not watching your people grow. They're supposed to grow and go. They're supposed to go and build and the next lot come in. So I love
that. Well, you don't want your kids at home for their whole life, do you?
No. I said to our kids, I don't know what happens overseas, but in Australia they have this Schoolies Week, and I'm totally against Schoolies Week. I'm not for it at all. And I said to my kids, you think you're going to go to Schoolies Week? You've got another thing coming. And I told them about 5 years before Schoolies Week hit so that they knew well and truly it was going. And I said, no, you haven't earned a Schoolies Week. Billions and billions of kids have to do school. Why would you be so special that you'd have to have $2,000 spent on you for some high-rise building for you to go and get trashed? You know, that's not my cup of tea. So, no, you go to work. You have to go to work tomorrow. First day off, you finish school, go to work. Because, hey, you need the money to put yourself through to do all the goodies you want to do during your period of time that you finished school. And it made a lot of sense. Both my kids had to go to a pub and learn to work. And the reason being the psychology for me, as you know, I love fun and I love parties. You know, I'm a party girl. And so I wanted my kids to be a little bit smarter than I was at that age. And so I said, you'll go and work for this publican and you'll learn to watch people when they're drunk and you'll learn to stand behind them and watch them how they act so that when you are in a social occasion, because the world's a hard place now, I said, when you are in a place like that, you'll be able to be so much smarter and watch and predict a lot better than you would have if you'd just been allowed to go straight to school this week off school. And it did, it worked, and they thanked me for it.
Well, we're really similar there because all of my kids are working at or have worked at pubs as well, and some of the behaviour they see there is a real eye-opener for them, and I'm glad that they're behind the counter rather than in front of the counter exhibiting some of that behaviour.
It is, isn't it? I did it myself. I did it for years and years. And I did it even as a teacher. I did it because I was playing a horse sport, very expensive horse sport called polo cross. And it's not as expensive as polo, but believe me, it's still expensive. And so I had to hold on a second job. And so I used to work in the pubs at night and people would look at me and they weren't quite sure what I did, you know. I was playing polo cross on the weekends, but it was very good. It was a really good thing to do. And you get to learn so much about people, communicating relationships with people and watching them. And you also see the devious side, don't you?
Mm. that was me when I was younger, I think.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay, Nick, we are probably got 10 minutes left, so I'm watching the clock. And what's your proudest accomplishment to date?
Proudest accomplishment? You know, everybody says they're kids, but I can't take any responsibility for that. They've grown up despite me and have turned out okay.
They have. I can say that.
Yes. You know, my proudest accomplishment, I think, when I think back on my life, is it's not a thing, but it's the fact that I'm an avid lifelong learner. And I keep I've just started doing it, actually, just keeping a journal in the mornings. Every morning I go, this is how I plan my day. I write down my entire day in there, what I'm going to do and the plan for it. But in there, it's like you've got to write down three things that you're grateful for, and most often than any, it's about the fact that I'm a learner. And you know, if I don't know how to do something, I've got this inquiring mind that just questions and looks to, well, how can we do it? Used to get me into trouble as a kid and a teenager because I always talk back, and I was always being probably overly curious, and got me into situations that was probably to my parents. Well, that's how they got to pull out all their hair. but I think, you know, in business and in life, it's that curiosity and that really desire to learn is really where you get the most joy and gratification out of life. It also can be the most frustrating experience, but it's where you grow as a person. And I hope for my kids that you know, that they see that you know what I've done, and that's what they pull out of their whole experience growing up here at home, is the curiosity and the desire to learn. So it's probably an unusual accomplishment, but it's one of those lifelong things.
I hear you. I'm a lifelong learner too, and you know, I've got Jill of all trades, got lots of skills and pieces of paper and whatnot, and passions and loves and hobbies, etc. And it's what I crave, and I'll do it to the day I die. And certainly, both my parents demonstrated and modelled that to me. So my mum's 90; she's just turned 90, and she published her first book at the end of last year at 89 years of age. How awesome was that? My father, he was a flying doctor, so he both was a pilot and a doctor, and he held the altitude record in Australia, I'm sure he still does, of delivering a baby on autopilot with his back to the controls, delivering a baby flying across from Mornington Island to Mount Isa. And so you have to be a lifelong learner if you live in our family. It's sink or swim. And it's a really good thing, isn't it, that you're saying, because a lot of people sit there, and I get this a lot of time, and you would get this a lot as well. Why are you doing that? So why? I'm a cosmetic tattoo practitioner, and I do that on the weekends, or I go to the horse races, or I might, make jewellery with racehorse teeth or something. There's lots of things I do and I love doing, and I probably wouldn't talk about it much here, but it's about doing that, keeping your mind interested and accepting change, being able to adapt. That's what you've got, haven't you?
Yeah, and look, my mother's got Alzheimer's, which is a terrible disease. You know, she's in her 70s, and you know, my parents were getting to the point where they were going to go and enjoy life and go and travel and do those things, but it's just been, you know, stopped in its tracks because they can't travel anymore. And and I had heard also that you know, one of the prevention measures for Alzheimer's is to keep your mind active and to keep learning, keep pushing in, and keep showing. Now, I don't know whether it's going to work or not. I forget things now, but you know, I think life is really there for living to its fullest extent. And you know, retirement is not about just sitting back and doing nothing. It's really a, maybe you're retiring from one stage of life, and you're moving into another stage of life. There doesn't mean you're any less busy. But you're always learning and exploring things. And you know, as I said, I'm 55. You know, retirement is closer to me now than it was, in my 20s. And it's interesting, you know, when you sort of think about that, thinking, geez, I don't know if I'm prepared for that. Now I can't really imagine that. And then, you know, you look at your parents and sort of think, well, it may come sooner than you expect, so you might as well get as much out of life and put as much in as you possibly can right now, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Exactly, and I'm with you there. I'm 60 when I retired, resigned actually from the Department of Education. Everyone said, oh, aren't you lucky you can retire and travel around Australia? No, I'm not going to do that. I've already travelled around Australia. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep doing. I don't want to sit in the caravan for the rest of my life. No way. And I love having you on board here today, and it's great, and I hope that we can have you back again, Nick, and to share your gold nuggets, because they really are wonderful and meaningful and real. And I haven't asked you half the questions that I had hoped that I could ask you, but I know we've got a lot of information from you. So thank you for sharing with us today. It's been great having you on board. I know it's very hot where you are and where I am. I can feel everything dripping off me today. But we've got the aircon on. But thank you for your time. I really appreciate that. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. So tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Australian time, which is AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Contact me or visit my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. And don't forget, Nick, his website is www.smashgo.com. Got it. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to catching up with you with our guest, Kim Koo, all the way from Penang, Malaysia, next week. Thank you and cheers. Thanks for listening to another 60 minutes of inspiring talking points on Tracy Tully Talks, brought to you by bbsradio.com. Tune in every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Australian time, AEST, and 5 p.m. PT time in America. Leave me a message on my website at www.bbsradio.com/Tracy Tully Talks. If you're interested in lifting the profile, presence and profit of your business, sponsorship opportunities are available. Until next Thursday, it's goodbye from me.